You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, we cover down on all of it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it's Wednesday, 4 o'clock. You know what that means. It's time for this thing we call the Grand Council. I bring on two of my brethren in talk radio, and we ping each other with questions and just see what kind of answers we come up with. So let me just call the roll for the council. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
What?
You are indeed. Stand at ease. Thank you for your time. All right. Also from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of his own show, The Jeff Poor Show, and, oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed calling in today. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. All right, well, Big Rig, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-ba-da-da. All right. We are on, fellers. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and say, Jeff Poor, you're first. What you got?
We got an idea of what the gambling bill is. They are really moving some votes in the House. Certainly starting to, the tide's starting to turn on this thing, and I don't know that they can get it or not, but it certainly looks a little more rosy. What do you think of what you've seen so far?
Dale, you first. What you got?
Well, I'd have to know exactly what it is. Right now I have not seen it. So, I mean, for those who are not in the State House, Jeff, what does it look like?
So basically, it's the same bill that All Britain tried probably 2 years ago, casino gaming, sports betting, and a lottery. The biggest difference here is it does give the county commissions a little more power if they want to try to get one of these gaming licenses, if one should become available. And it creates an enforcement mechanism that's not under the umbrella of ALEA or the AG's office. It's a whole new agency that would police gaming.
So they're going full-on marijuana commission on this thing is what they're doing.
It sounds like it.
Well, that's gone swimmingly. All right, Dale, you want to go first or you want me to?
Well, so they're going to give the Portree Indians three casinos. They're going to give the other casinos there in the Black Belt. So it's basically what we all thought it was and what it's been before.
It's a monopoly bill.
What's different about this?
I mean, there's nothing really different about it except they're building government. They're still doing monopoly. Are they going to put the actual names of the bad actors in the Constitution like they were last time, Jeff?
No, it looks like they're just naming county names.
Okay.
And the way it was explained in the press conference today, that say like Houston County has Country Crossings, for example, but if for whatever reason they don't get the license, then there could potentially be another casino in Houston County somewhere.
So they designate where you're allowed to have a casino. And then they say, oh, by the way, we're going to control the flow and we're going to build some government to control that flow because we're Republicans and building government is what we do. And I'm sure there's a massive licensure fee, which is also, oh, by the way, a new form of taxation. You just call it a fee. And, it's no different than anything we see in the past. And then they're going to tie a lottery to it and then sell the lottery for the boats. Am I right?
And the other aspect you're going to make it the sales pitch, I think it's this enforcement mechanism which says, hey, we have this rampant out-of-control gambling. You have all of these other sort of entities that are operating on their own. You've got to pass this, or it's Phoenix City 1955 all over again.
Yeah, I just mocked that a minute ago on the show. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Here's the thing. How about this? Legislators who just want to be pro-gaming just say, I'm a Republican, but I want to expand casino gaming because I like rolling the dice. So just quit pretending that it's about saving your constituents from the illegal gambling halls. That's a crock. Just be who you are and then go for it.
They are moving some votes, though. A lot of hard no's are now yeses. They are putting the pressure on, which makes me think that I don't know. I'm starting to see a path forward for this. Just the kind of my feeling in this building right now.
I mean, if it gets through the legislature, it's going to pass. I mean, the whole the issue's never been the people. The issue is the people inside that
building. You got to get the 3/5 in the House. I feel like they it wouldn't have been in the governor's state of the state last night. The question is, what's going to happen upstairs in the Senate?
Yeah,
and there's a lot of pushback upstairs. But they were able to move these votes like they did. It's incredible what they've done in the last 48 hours, moving these Senate gavel in and move these votes from no's to yeses. If somehow they're able to pull that off upstairs, which doesn't seem likely right now, then we might be looking at a vote in November.
Well, and so, at the risk of spending our entire time on this one thing, I'll just go ahead and say that I think part of what swayed that was the governor making it part of her State of the State speech. When the governor comes out and says, I'll sign it if you send it to me, and oh, by the way, I think it's important, then those who sit on the fence worrying about their political future suddenly realize, okay, she's not going to leave me hanging. I could vote for this, I guess.
Here's a question I have, I know we're eating up time here, but the question I have is this. Are any of the bad actors, the big-name bad actors, not going to benefit from this?
Yeah. Jeff? Anybody?
Well, I think, it's the usual suspects. The one thing that it does, the constitutional amendment will do away with all those local amendments. So I don't know if there's any merit in that, but it would put it all under the umbrella of one single authority, which... Say what you want about the status quo versus what they want to do. Is there any merit to that? I don't know.
Well, can they put something in there that says you cannot apply for a license if you still owe the state back taxes or if you've ever had to be raided and convicted, for prior abuses of Alabama gambling laws? Can they put that in there and at least we'll keep the bad actors out that way because half of them don't pay their taxes and the other half have been raided and convicted? I mean, Country Crossing, went to jail for Country Crossing.
And guys, I don't know that some of these guys are going to be able to raise the kind of money for the licensing fee. Will they just waive that? And I know we're going long here. There is a condition that you have to spend so much on like a capital project for your facility. I don't know if that's going to be something they can do.
Are they doing the protectionist measure like they did in the marijuana bill that says it has to be in-state people to keep all the big money from out-of-state coming in? Or are they going to just stick with in-state people? They'll find the
money.
Sooner or later, you're going to have casino operators from Atlantic City or something coming in and partnering, quote-unquote, with a small LLC out of Alabama, and they'll suddenly have $35 million to build a casino. In return for a 94% share in the company. It's going to happen.
There you have it.
Dale, with about 3 minutes left, what's your question?
School choice, yay or nay? Are they going to get it done?
I think they're going to get it done. My question for y'all on that same topic is let's combine our two questions with 3 minutes left. Are they going to get it done? I think they are, but here's my one concern. Is there a poison pill in there like testing? Is that testing issue going to be the poison pill that causes conservatives to unravel, which is what the AEA really wanted?
Well, I asked this question earlier of Terry Lathan, and she's been paying close attention to this and been involved in it. She said that testing mechanism that they're talking about is the testing mechanism that those schools are already doing. It doesn't create a state entity that tests them or anything like this. It just says there has to be some form of standardized testing that you're doing at these schools.
What about auditing?
A little better.
What about auditing? I haven't seen the bill. I've just seen the bullet points.
I asked that too. I asked about the auditing because it read kind of weird to me. So I asked about that. And I was told that the auditing is for the use of the education savings account. It's not for the schools. And that's not how it read to me, but I'm an idiot. Huh. So I asked that question. And Terry Lathan said, no, that's for if people are grifting and using the education savings account, but that's on the individual parent level, not on the school level.
You're only an idiot if you don't ask the question. So,
I have one prominent North Alabama lawmaker who I won't name, but you probably figured out, told me that auditing component makes him a no vote.
Okay. Well, see, then we are looking at a poison. So I guess that they always, by the way, they'll put in some throwaways, things like, okay, negotiating points, we can do without this, so write it in. That way we got something to throw away during the negotiation. So the auditing thing may go away quick. Then again, it may be the thing the AEA got written in for their own benefit because they know it's going to cause people to unravel. So I don't know, man. Right now I think it's going to pass. And I think if they come out of this session without a school choice bill, it's going to be a black eye on not only leadership, which has co-sponsored the bill, but on Republicans in general who can't get it across the finish line. Dale, final comments?
Yeah, I think you're right. I kind of want to ask Jeff who he's talking about because I think I know, but maybe I'll find out tomorrow at around 7:30 or 7:45.
All right. That being said, good timing. We actually got through the first round. We're with the Grand Council. We're with the Grand Council heading to a break. We'll come right back for round number two with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and 1819 News and Dale Jackson at WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and also with Yellowhammer News. And somebody's choking on something, and we're all good. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, yeah, making common sense like a superpower. All right, hey, we're back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Jeff Poore, what is your first question, round two?
We all know about the border crisis, and we all know about this impasse on Capitol Hill. I don't think it's a good look for Joe Biden or the Democrats, but it doesn't really matter what I think. Are Republicans playing this one right? Are they getting what they need to get out of this politically?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the arguments against the Republican position is that it is a political move. And are they right now? I mean, I think so. I mean, here's the thing. What I don't want to see is them making it overtly political. Let Trump do that during his campaign, rightfully so. That's a campaigner's thing. The congressional folks need to keep their eyes on the prize. But they do not need to give away the farm at all. And so the idea of trying to impeach Mayorkas going down in flames last night, even though I know it's still technically alive, it needs to come back. They need to stay on this thing and hammer the crap out of it. But I'm so glad, by the way, they didn't vote for that border bill today. I think that needed to die. I mean, I think I'm rambling here a little bit, but are they making enough political hay out of it? I don't know. But I don't know what more they could say. Dale?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, nobody believes – I mean – Joe Biden's like, oh, the MAGA Republicans and Donald Trump, they're the ones that left the border open. Nobody believes that crap. And so I think it just makes them look silly on the Democratic side. But, yeah, the Republicans need to keep trying to hold people accountable for failing here and pointing out those failures. What they need to also do is stop other people from being like, we're not doing this because Donald Trump wants to win an election. That's what we're doing. I mean, and it's just like you're talking a little out of school there. And it doesn't make any sense to even if that were true, which I don't believe that it is. It's just a stupid thing to get out there and say as Republicans, and they just don't have the message discipline they need. And so that's bad politics right there.
Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
Well, it's just my concern that the Democrats are the media are framing a narrative, and as silly as that sounds to me, that this is nothing but a ploy to prop up Donald Trump. Does it get traction? Do they just dismiss that as stupid? Like, there is clearly a path for political success here, but are Republicans handling it right? And I'm a little unsure about that.
Well, and I mean, those who already want to hate Trump or hate Republicans are going to believe that narrative no matter what we do. But the fact is, they cannot deny. In fact, even the mere existence of that border bill is now, you know, proof positive that even the White House is recognizing something's got to change, and they were asking for it, and they're even calling it a crisis finally. So, I mean, grab the narrative, Republicans, and all you got to do is repeat what they're saying and show what's happening. All right, next question, Dale, what do you have?
I've been following Jeff's Twitter, so I want to get out some of the stuff that he's been talking about on there. Is Taylor Swift going to be proposed to at the Super Bowl?
Well, I heard they're changing the name to the Kansas City Swifties. That's what I heard.
Okay. All right,
that's my thing. Good. I just said that. But
that was really your question?
Yeah, we're running out of time here. I'm giving you something quick.
You just don't prepare for this segment is what you're
That's not true, Jeff. People will remember this part of the conversation. So do you think she gets proposed to at the end of the game?
Let's see. School choice, border control, political presidential aspirations / Taylor Swift. How have we devolved to that? What the heck?
Answer the question, Senator!
He is not going to propose at the Super Bowl. No. That would be silly. That'd be because you know, 6 weeks later, they'd be broken up and she'd be writing a song about him. So, no, that's not going to happen. I'm saying no. Don't Jeff. Do it. Don't do it, Kelsey.
Jeff
is just refusing to even answer right now.
Hey, guys, you guys forgot. This is a PSYOP, okay? You got to understand. They have to propose to get even more attention, and then they endorse Joe Biden at their wedding on October, like, 23rd. It's a brilliant move here.
Sweet. Let me ask a real question. All right, here we go. With 3 minutes left, 2 minutes maybe, Tucker Carlson has apparently flown to Moscow and interviewed Vladimir Putin. Is this a yay or a nay in your book? We got 2 minutes. Was this a good thing? How do you feel about it, Jeff Poor?
Absolutely yay. You got to do it. I remember they did this maybe 15, 20 years ago. Larry King went to Iran and interviewed one of the Ayatollahs or something, and you know, but I mean, how many of us on this call would turn down an interview of Vladimir Putin?
Dale.
I definitely would not turn that interview down. Yeah, look, they interviewed Osama bin Laden. They interview Hamas every other day, and I'm not just talking about Ilhan Omar. They interview people who are terrible, awful, no good people all the time. And Christine Amanpour was like, I try to get an interview every week with Vladimir Putin. Well, her own network is calling him a traitor for doing it. It's just insanity. Yes, of course, it's a great thing for him to do.
It is, and I'm curious to see. Yeah, what?
When Hamas attacked Israel, weren't there AP reporters on a motorcycle with those guys? I mean,
they did quickly fire those.
People that work with CNN.
That was actually considered bad, just so you know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. My question, but I'm for it. I mean, I think first of all, I trust Tucker Carlson to actually do a real interview as compared to, you know, Christiane Amanpour, who would probably gush all over him. But I think that this is the kind of thing that has to happen. I'm curious to see how he presses him on the issues, and I'm curious to see whether it comes out making him look better, because I know that Tucker's a bit of an isolationist. How's he going to feel on Ukraine after he meets the guy who invaded Ukraine? But I think it had to be done, and I'm glad it was a libertarian / conservative who got the interview, as opposed to some bleeding heart liberal who would have just fawned all over him for, you know, his communist beliefs. So there's that. All right, fellas, we got through all of it. I guess that's because Dale and I combined our questions and Taylor Swift derailed the moment there for a second. But appreciate both of you. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile and 1819 News. Dale Jackson at WVNN up here in Huntsville, and also with Yellowhammer News and just little old me. Coming up, last half hour, do we do woke world or do we hold it? We'll be right back.